Okay, let's begin. Parshas Maaseh. So we'll start here with Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch discusses the, you know, why does the Torah include a list of all of the places where Bnei Yisrael encamped when they were in the Midbar, Okay, so Rav Hirsch here says as follows. There could be various reasons for this summary of the moves and halts of the wandering through the wilderness. A whole list of events and experiences could have been connected with these journeys, etc. But he said here as follows. He says, the footprints in the sands of time, could these places still have for the immediate and distant future? And how much could the sons and grandchildren be invited thereby to trace and visit these places of the revelation of Hashem's miraculous guidance and care? And out of the history of the fathers, on the very spot of the revelation of it, bring to their minds the speaking fact of the presence of Hashem on earth. In other words, reviewing the Masos is a way for Bnei Yisrael to sort of have a brief review of all of the things that happen in the Midbar and the miracles. It's all part of saying, Hashem's here on earth, Hashem's here on earth. And as they're about to enter Eretz Yisrael, to sort of have a recap of all of the examples, all of the proofs, all of the examples, really, that Hashem showed himself here on earth. And that's the idea of the Masos, that the sons and the grandchildren of the door that's dying out should think about these places and learn this lesson. Then he continues, and this already the very sight of these barren and waterless deserts, which are so great that even a caravan has carefully to reckon the days to provide itself with food and water, in which at least a million people traveled for 40 years. How much, as the Rambam points out in the Mor Nevuchim, must this very sight alone prove the whole godliness of the foundation of Jewish history? Aside from the specific events in each spot where they camped, the whole concept that there are 2 million people traveled for 40 years, the nigla to go through a midbar with 2 million people for 40 years is such a indication. It's a megaphone crying out, Hashem is here, Hashem is here. So again, as we're coming to the sort of to the end of the stay in the midbar, to have this reminder of this fact was important for Bnei Yisrael, that generation, and for us as well, as we're learning the Chumash. This is the basic idea of the Masos. Then Rav Hirsch quotes Rashi, that there are 42 Masos that are mentioned, so 14 are in the beginning, before Chayta Meraglim, 8 are from Hor Hahar, after Aaron dies. So that means in the 38 years of wandering, they only moved 20 times. So you see here, the gentle love of Hashem, that the verdict that Hashem pronounced, that they're going to be in the Midbar, was not one of continuous, restless wandering about. Because the average spot they settled was around 2 years. There were 20 places they camped in 30 years. It's roughly once every 2 years they had to move. So the Torah here is reminding us that even within Hashem's punishment of Klal Yisrael, Hashem still has rachamim. It's like rachamim in betoch hadin. Even betoch the punishment of Klal Yisrael, Hashem still shows his rachamim and doesn't make the travels in the midbar too difficult. It wasn't constant travel. These are Rav Hirsch's two comments about the basic idea of mentioning the Masos here in the Chumash. Now, the Netziv has another angle on the first Psukim in Maaseh. The Netziv points out that the word Maaseh is mentioned 3 times in the beginning of the Parsha. It's interesting. The Torah says, Eila Maaseh Bnei Yisrael, etc. Ve'echta Moshe es motso ehem l'maseihem al pi Hashem ve'eilem maseihem l'motso ehem. So why the kfeilus halashon? Why the repetition? So the Netziv here says as follows. The Netziv says really the masos, the different goings forth, the different travels in the midbar, the different journeys in the midbar, really, they were split up into really 3 groups. Mimitzrayim Akadesh Baneya, Hayunosi Mutachis Bia L'Eretz Yisrael. The first group, from when they left Mitzrayim until Kadesh Barnea, their travels were in order to go from Mitzrayim into Eretz Yisrael, to come into Eretz Yisrael. Hayah HaTachlis, and the goal, Hamasa Kidei L'Hakliskai B'Eretz Yisrael, Mikadesh Barnea, Shaya Maasei Meraglim. So the first group is they're heading towards Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Then they had Chet Meraglim, and now they were punished to travel around. Vim Kain, the next Masa, the next set, Hayah Amasos Egu, HaTachlis Hayitziyah Mimakom L'Makom. In other words, the second group of travels was just to travel around. No particular purpose, no particular direction. The goal wasn't to get to Eretz Yisrael. The goal was just to travel around. You know, after Chet Meraglim, the punishment was to travel around, you know, to travel around for 40 years, you know, exactly, whatever the exact number was. Oh. Then there was the third group. V'achar shebo l'kadesh shebemidbar tzin l'eretz Edom. Then once they came to Kadesh in Midbar Tzin, by Edom, then they began, then they began to go to Eretz Yisrael to enter Eretz Yisrael again. So then, Chazar, Tachlis, Hanesiyah, Lios Karba, Kibu of Eretz Yisrael. So then, the purpose of the travels reverted back to what? Reverted back to the purposes to go to get close to Eretz Yisrael. That's what he says here. Al Kain, Kasav, Kan, Gimel, Pa'amim, Eile Mase. It says it three times. Eile Mase, number one. The first group, Eile Mase, is they're leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to, they're leaving Mitzrayim to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's group number one. So the first pasuk is a remez to the first group of travels, of journeys, where there's a purpose from Eretz, from Mitzrayim to go to Eretz Yisrael. Oh. Then it says, Vayichta Moshe es motso ehem, Limas Ahem. Motso Ahem is mentioned first. The leaving is mentioned. Motso means to leave, the going forth, before the Masayim. What's the pshat? The pshat is, he says, Iker haya hayetziya mimakam shayashu vayechun odidim. The Iker purpose, the primary purpose of the second group, the middle group, was to leave, to go around, to walk around. That was the whole purpose, the punishment in the Midbar. That's why in the second place it says, Motza Ahem Limas Ahem. Motza Ahem Limas Ahem. That they went forth in order to travel. They went forth in their travels. The main purpose was, the Ikka was the going forth, the traveling around. And what was that? That was Al Pi Hashem. Right. So why is that written down? That's written down Al Pi Hashem. That's why it says Al Pi Hashem there. In other words, there was no functional purpose. Now, in other words, the purpose is, the Jews leave Mitzrayim. They're going to Eretz Yisrael. So let's know how they travel, this way, that way, this way. Stam, the wanderings around, there is no l'chor, a special reason why you should know each place they wandered around. So why is that written down? There's no significance to each spot. The whole point was just to move around from place to place. Each spot isn't significant. You're not going somewhere. If you're on a journey, you're heading from point A to point B. So your goal is to get to point B. So there's significance. I stopped here along the way. I stopped here along the way. So then it makes sense to mention every place you stopped. But if the point of the journey is just move around, then each particular spot is not significant. Then how come it's mentioned? So that's what he says. Al-Pi Hashem. Hashem said to write it down. As it wasn't any other purpose. That's what the Netziv says. It's an interesting language. The Netziv says, Im Kein, Lo Haya Roi L'Kasev. It was no purpose to write it. Elo Mishum Hay Al-Pi Hashem. Because it was Al-Pi Hashem. Le'ezen Tachlis Nelam Imenu. For some purpose that's beyond us. V'yizkal Le'ez Keitz, then Mashiach comes. And when the Mashiach comes, we'll know the reason. Okay. That's how the Netziv interprets that. Then, the third group, Ve'ele Masehem, Limotzaehem. Then the Tziv explains, Zilchel Kashlishi, Shayatachis Hamasa, Kadeshayiskar Vularitz Yisrael, Vizatachis Etziam Eretz Yisrael, behind Limotzaehem. In the third place, it says Masehem again, because again, the journeys have significance. We're traveling towards Eretz Yisrael. So you mentioned the Masehem first. So here's the Tziv's word. Masehem means the journey, the journeys themselves. So when the journeys have significance, when you're heading towards Eretz Yisrael, each spot along the way has significance. And that's why Maaseihem is mentioned first. The middle group was Motzaeihem. The point is you're just leaving the place where you are. The Ikar is the leaving the place where you are, not the place that you're going to. I'm leaving someplace because I have to wander around. And that's why Motzaeihem is mentioned first. Okay. That's the Netziv's take on the repetition of the term Maaseihem three times in the Pasuk. Next, in Pasuk Gimel, there's a bit of a repetition which the Netziv stops on. And it's, the Torah says as follows. The Torah says in Pasuk Gimel, Vayusumi Ramses, Bachodesh Harishon, Bachamisha Asar Yom, Lachodesh Harishon, Mimokhor Asar Pesach, Yotsu B'nei Yisrael, B'yad Ramah, L'nei B'nei Kol Mitzrayim. They left Ramses in the first month. On the 15th day of the first month, B'nei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, B'yad Ramah. I mean, Ramses happened right after, the leaving Ramses happened right after, of course it was the first month, it was the same month, everything. Why is Bachodesh Harishon mentioned twice? So the Netziv says, a nice little vort, he says, Kefa Lashon, Lamdenu, Shegam HaChodesh Garam Ladavar. The fact that it was this month was part of the cause. V'gam HaYom HaZeh Asa Hashem Yos Garam Lazeh, U'mizeh Anu Lamedim, SheHaChodesh Atzmo Hu Eis Tov LiYisroel. The Torah here is hinting to us the Yesod, that the month of Nisan itself is a good month for Am Yisrael. Hashem was hinting that it's not Stam that it was that month. It was that month, the Chodesh HaRishon. We're emphasizing the Chodesh HaRishon. It has significance. What's the Pshat? That's a good month. It's a Mazel Dikah month, the month of Nisan, the time of Nisim. Nisan, the time of Nisim. So the idea that we know from Chazal that Nisan is a good month, it's a time that's set aside for good things and for miracles, the Netziv claims is hinted at, he notices, is hinted at in the slight repetition in Pasuk Gimel. Mamash, a very sharp vort that the Netziv noticed that slight repetition. And this is the vort that Yetzias Mitzrayim had to do with Nisan. Nisan is a very special month. It's a Chodesh Meyuchad V'Tov. Okay, that's point number three. Now, Pasuk Gimel mentions that B'nai Yisrael left Mitzrayim B'yad Ramah. They left Mitzrayim B'yad Ramah, which means literally with an upraised hand in front of the eyes of the Mitzrayim. Okay, so in Pasuk Gimel, the Torah writes, in Pasuk Gimel, the Torah writes, Yotu B'nai Yisrael B'yad Ramah L'nei Kol Mitzrayim. B'nai Yisrael left B'yad Ramah with an upraised hand. That means we left with confidence in front of all of Mitzrayim. We didn't sneak out. There's a famous Maimer Chazal. B'nai Yisrael left Mitzrayim during, well, this is not, this is a pasuk, during the day. This is a misconception. B'nai Yisrael left Mitzrayim during the day. This comes up at the Seder. People should mention this. It's in the Psukim in Shmos Perek Yud Beis a few times. It's in this pasuk. We left Mitzrayim during the day. The Ramban quotes the Medrash that if you're a robber, you sneak out at night because you're afraid of being caught. The Jews were saying, we're not robbers, we're not sneaking out, we're not afraid of being caught, we have Hashem on our side, nothing's going to stop us. So leaving during the day reflects the fact that Hashem's on your side, and there's nothing to be afraid of, there's no fear. This is the Pashut idea that Chazal went out from this and other Psukim that we left during the day. Okay, Rav Hirsch develops this point a little bit further. Rav Hirsch says at night, he says, the Exodus took place in broad daylight, B'yad Ramah, L'nei Kol Mitzrayim. And the Gemara points out that while we were leaving, the Mitzrayim were Mekabrim. They were burying their dead. The firstborn died the night before Yetzias Mitzrayim, Leil Tezvav. The next day when we left Mitzrayim, they were burying the dead. So Rav Hirsch is just highlighting this tremendous contrast. We're the slaves. We were the downtrodden slaves. We're walking out free, and our powerful masters, at the same moment walking out free, are burying their dead. So Rav Hirsch explains. This contrast belongs essentially to the thought which the redemption from Egypt is to be kept for all time as a fundamental idea for us. The rays of the morning sun showed the hordes of the slaves raised to freedom. And the master race, downcast and bewailing the loss of their most precious and dearest treasured firstborn. What does this show? This showed the one and same hand of Hashem punishing and delivering at the same time. Hashem punishes the wicked and helps Bnei Yisrael. Both together, the fear of deserved punishment and the confidence of deserved help filling the human breast is to be forever the fundamental trait of Jewish consciousness of Hashem. But, in other words, we're leaving Yitzrayim. We're being born as a nation. What memories are we taking from that moment, the moments of Yitzias Mitzrayim? We're taking the memories of, it's the middle of the day, it's clear as day, and in the clear day we see the hand of Hashem punishing the Mitzrim and helping us, who, you know, at that point we deserve to go free. Schar va'onesh, being the Am HaNifchar, these are all of these ideas are being highlighted for us and emphasized for us in the middle of the day, in the clear of day. This is the picture that the Jewish people are supposed to take away with them when they're leaving Mitzrayim. That we're leaving B'yad Ramah L'nei Kol Mitzrayim, and the Mitzrim are mekabrim, are burying their dead. But Rav Hirsch here continues, basically, this is based on the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. That is why this moment of the Exodus is also mentioned in its full characteristics here in the list of journeys of Bnei Yisrael, as indeed it also forms the foundation cardinal point in the Kadesh of the Tefillin, out of which every Jewish man daily has to achieve afresh the sanctification of his thinking, willing, and doing. In other words, this is why it says, this is why Yetzias Mitzrayim is mentioned everywhere. Because of this Nekuda, the clarity of the Hashem punishes the evil and rewards those that deserve help, that were the Am HaNifchar, all of these, this is the Ramban at the end of Bo. Why is Yetzias Mitzrayim mentioned so often all in so many mitzvos? Because of many of the important Yesodos and Hashkafa, which Yetzias Mitzrayim proves for us and teaches to us. Okay, this is our first on Yotzi B'yad Ramah. As a side point, you know, Ravad Yosef Shlita, he's one of the greatest of the Gedolim. He's certainly the Gadol Ador in the Sephardi world. So he writes many tshuvas. So in his tshuvas, he presents the Sephardi approach, and often he refers to the Ashkenazi approach to halacha as well. And let's say there's a machlokas between the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah. So generally speaking, the Sephardim follow the Mechaber, and Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. That's how generally things work. So Rav Avadya likes to say as follows. He has a play on words. He says, for us, the Sephardim, we do this. But for Achenu HaAshkenazim, our brothers the Ashkenazim, HaYotzim B'Yad Ramah, it's a play on words on this pasuk. They're Yotzim B'Yad Ramah. They go out with the Yad Ramah, meaning the Yad of the Ramah, the Ramah. Here it's spelled Resh Mem Hei. Ramah, the initials of Ramah are Resh Mem Aleph, Rav Moshe Isserles. But he likes to quote a play on words from this pasuk, that Achenu Ashkenazim Hayotzim B'Yad Ramah, they follow the Ramah, they do that. All right. That's Rav Avadya's humor. Anyway, that's the gentle play on words, the gentle humor of the Gedolim. Rav Avadya has a tshuva on diktuk and proper pronunciation of things. And so in that tshuva, he talks about pronunciation of Hashem. You know, in Hebrew, most words are milra, and some words are mil-el. Milra means the accent is on the last syllable. Mil-el means the accent is on the second to last syllable. In Hebrew, most words, the accent's on the last syllable. And once in a while, it's a second to last syllable. That's just the way it works. For example, take a bracha. Let's say the word Baruch Atah Hashem. Baruch Atah, that's wrong. It's Baruch Atah. The accent's on the last syllable, in most cases, not the second to last. Okay, and that's called Mil-Ra is the last syllable, and Mil-El is the second to last syllable. So Hashem's name has three syllables. There's the A, and then the O sound, and then the noise sound. So the accent's on the last syllable. The accent is on the noi, not on the do. So let's say, I'll say Hashem. So it's not Adoshem, it's Adoshem. It isn't Adoshem, that's Mil'el, it's Adoshem. The accent's on the last syllable. So it's Baruch, Ator, Adoshem, like that. Okay. So Rav Avadia quotes a tshuva from the Note of Yehuda, that somebody wrote him a letter and said, Rebbe, I have a friend, or someone told me that Hashem's name is Mil'el, not Mil'ra. That when you pronounce Hashem's name, the accent is not on the last syllable, but it's on the second to last syllable. So Rav Avadia quotes, the Note of Yehuda wrote back and said, Hashem's name is Mil'ra, on the last syllable. And you tell your friend that if he thinks Hashem's name is Mil'el, then he, your friend, is Mil'ra. Get it? Because Mil'ra also means like bad. Ra means bad. So that was the Note of Yehuda's little sharp humor there. That if your friend says Hashem's name is Mil'el, then he's Mil'ra. Okay, and anyway, be that as it may, let us continue. So that was Rav Hirsch on Hayotzim B'Yad Rama. Now, the Psukim mention here the various Masos, and it's striking that in Pasuk Tesvav, the Psukim mention, Vayusim Erefidim Vayichnu B'Midbar Sinai, Vayusim B'Har Sinai Vayichnu B'Kibos HaTava. We came to Har Sinai, and then we left Har Sinai and went to Kibos HaTav. What's striking here is, of course, the omission of any mention of Matan Torah. It's very striking. You know, we have a recap of events in the Midbar, travels and events in the Midbar, and the Torah leaves out Matan Torah. It's quite strange when you think about it. So here there's a brief comment of Rav Moshe Feinstein, which I think really reflects a much broader theme regarding Matan Torah in general. So let's read the Darash Moshe. Rav Moshe says here as follows: Ha d'lo huzkar b'masos shenitna Torah b'Har Sinai, that which the Torah does not mention during these travels, that the Torah was given Har Sinai near mishum the tzarich lachshov kol yom kilu ata nisna Torah, that as if it was given today. Lo k'davar yashan shekvar nitna b'Sinai el b'chol eis yucha kachadashim. We're supposed to view Matan Torah as if it's happening today. We're not supposed to view, oh, Matan Torah happened years ago in this place at this time. But rather, it's supposed to always have that freshness. So the Torah leaves it out in order that we shouldn't, this is how I understand Rav Moshe, overemphasize, oh, that's the day of Matan Torah. That's the place of Matan Torah. This theme is mentioned in a variety of places. And I once developed a shiur on exactly this theme, and I've included it elsewhere on the CD. The idea that we find many makoros that indicate we shouldn't over-focus that Matan Torah happened here, it happened on this date, on this time, etc. And Rav Moshe is saying that idea that we shouldn't over-focus on one day, but rather, no, feel that Matan Torah, we should view it as happening every day of the year, that's reflected in the omission. It's like we're de-emphasizing Matan Torah here, the omission that a dafka happened in Midbar Sinai. That's what Moshe writes here. I think this is like a tip of the iceberg of a major approach to how to approach Matan Torah in general. Okay, that's Rav Moshe on Pasuk Tesvav. Okay, let's continue. So the Torah is giving here a recap of the travels and certain events that happen in the Midbar. And the Torah says in Pasuk Lamed Ches, it refers to Aaron's death. The Torah says, Vayisu Mikadesh, Vayachnu B'har Har B'Kseh Eretz Adom, Vayal Aaron HaKohen Olor Har L'Pi Hashem, Vayomas Sham B'Shnas Arboim L'Teis B'nei Eretz Mitzrayim, L'Teis B'nei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, B'Chodesh HaChamishi B'Echad L'Chodesh. The Torah mentions the month of Aaron's death, B'Chodesh HaChamishi, that is Av, starting from Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. It's the month of Av, is when Aaron died. Interesting. The Netziv stopped on this. How come the Torah Dafka mentions here the month? We don't find the month mentioned in other places. Let's read. The Netziv writes, Lo hodia kasuv, lo b'misas Moshe, v'lo b'misas Miriam, hachodesh v'ayom kim b'misas Aaron. The Torah does not tell us the month of Miriam's death or the month of Moshe's death. Only by Aaron. Why? Why the difference? Ulamdenu sha'oso ha'chodesh goram lios l'satan l'gdulas avodos ha'mishkan shede Aaron ha'kohen harosh. To teach us that that month that that month itself was part of the cause of this calamity, that Aaron died. Aaron was the primary person who did the Avodas HaMishkan. So the Torah is teaching us that this month is a bad mazel for Avodas HaMishkan. The fact that Aaron died in Av, and the Torah mentions that Aaron dies in Av, teaches us that the month was Goreim. The month was a partial cause that Aaron's death happened at this time. And the Nesiv says, amazing idea, Umizes simon ledoros to bechodesh Av yehe nechrav beis hamikdosh. The Nesiv says, here we see another remez that Av is a negative time. Av is a time that's omed for destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, for negative things to befall the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. And the Torah was emphasizing that the month was part of the issue here, and we should learn a lesson. This Netziv is like Lishitaso. We saw above that the Netziv said the fact that Nisan is mentioned twice above is a remez to the mazel of Nisan, the positive mazel of Nisan. And the fact that Av here is mentioned at all, the fifth month is mentioned at all, is a remez to sort of the negative mazel of Av, in particular, the negative mazel of Av regarding Avodas HaMishkan. Aaron dies in Av, and later on, the Churban HaBayis is in Av. It's an eye-opening Netziv. Okay, that's the Netziv regarding Aaron's death.
Okay, next. Rav Nevensohl has a vort here in Parshas Masseh. Parshas Masseh mentions that Aaron died. Now, what's striking is that the Torah mentions the month and the day of the month, the exact date of Aaron's death. By Moshe Rabbeinu, in contrast, the Torah doesn't mention the day Moshe died. Chazal tell us Zayin Adar, but it isn't in the Chumash. So Nevensohl thinks that maybe there's a significance for that, that the Torah mentions the date, the exact date of Aaron's death, and not Moshe's. And Nevensohl develops the following theme. He says, the Misa of Tzadikim is, of course, a simon of a chisaron ba'olam. A great tzaddik dies, and it's something's missing in the world. So Nevensohl connects the chisaron of great tzaddikim to churban, the zman of the churban. You know, there is a Maimer Chazal that we discussed in this Shiurim on Tzom Gedalia, that the Chazal say that the day of a Misa of Tzadikim is kasha, is difficult, like Churban.
In Rav Nevensohl's son, Sefer, when he discusses this topic, he doesn't really elaborate on the connection between the Misa of Tzadikim and Churban HaBayis. He just says that the Churban HaBayis is a chisaron and the Misa of Tzadikim is a chisaron. So Rav Nevensohl in the Sicha, the Tzom Gedalia, quotes the Gemara, that shkula misasan shel tzadikim kisreifas beis elokeinu, that the death of tzadikim is equivalent to the sreifas beis elokeinu. L'chora, that Gemara really connects these two ideas. So I mentioned this to Rav Nevensohl's son, Rav Chizkia, and he said, yeah, this is mosif a lot. So I think we should add this in, that this whole idea of Nevensohl is presenting to sort of compare this whole idea of connecting the Churban HaBayis with the Misa of Aaron and Moshe, really, one can base very well on that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis.
So Rav Nevensohl connects thematically that when tzaddikim die, it's somehow a remez, great tzaddikim, Moshe and Aaron, it's a remez to Churban HaBayis. That's also a chisaron, the time of Churban. Oh, so therefore, based on that, Rav Nevensohl wants to say as follows. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the main thing we lost was the Avodah. The Avodah, Karbanos, can't do Karbanos anymore. Now, the Beis HaMikdash, aside from being a Makom of Avodah, was also a Makom of Torah. We know that the Beis HaGadol sat at the Beis HaMikdash. We know that there was a special connection of the Beis HaMikdash and Limud Torah. That's why the Gro points out that when you say it after Shmon Esrei, we say, Yiratzon Shibana Beis HaMikdash Rabbi Amenu, Fesein Chalkeinu Basarasecha. We see a linkage between Talmud Torah and the Beis HaMikdash. But, still, certainly, the Torah survives without the Beis HaMikdash. We can have Torah without the Beis HaMikdash. No one would say that the chisaron of Torah due to the lack of the Beis HaMikdash is at all the same as the chisaron of the Avodah. Without the Beis HaMikdash, there's no Avodah, there's no Kabbalah, zero. But with Torah, so there is a loss, but it's not nearly as significant. Oh, so Renato wants to say as follows. The Torah is Merames, Aaron, who's the symbol of Avodah. So his death, the Torah emphasizes the exact date to symbolize that Aaron's death corresponds to the Churban Habayis. There'll be a tremendous loss in Avodah. Moshe's death, however, Moshe is the symbol of Torah. Al Shol Shirem Olma HaTorah Avodah Gnus Chasadim. Moshe's death is not mentioned in the Torah. The date to be a remez, it's a remez that when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the Iker of Torah is going to remain. And therefore, in a sense, regarding Torah, there's less of a loss by Churban Habayis. And just to add to this, what Emetzal points out, Aaron died in which month? The month of Av, the fifth month, Nisan Iyar Sivan Tammuz Av. So Aaron dies in Av. That's the month of Churban Habayis. So in a sense, the Torah is emphasizing Aaron's death more than Moshe's death, to show that the Churban Habayis is going to affect the Midah of Aaron, of Avodah, more than the Midah of Moshe, of Torah. Okay, so that's what Nemetzal's shot, that he thinks that the significance of mentioning the date of Aaron's death versus Moshe's death might be linked with this idea that it's a remez to the other major chisaron that we're going to have, the chisaron of Churban Habayis. And by Churban Habayis, Aaron's death caused, the Churban Habayis caused a more significant loss regarding Aaron's midah than Moshe's. Oh.
Okay, let's continue. Let's move on to the end of Perek Lamed Gimel. Hashem says to Moshe, tell Bnei Yisrael, you're going over the Yarden, Pasuk Nun Beis, Horashtem es kol yoshvei haaretz mipneichem. You should drive out all the inhabitants of the land, etc. So Rav Hirshir points out, you know, again, he's just explaining Pashup Shat and the flow of the Psukim, Mamash the Pashup Shat, the flow from one Pasuk to the other, which is as follows. After the reestablishment of the bond with Hashem, which had been broken by the Chayta of Chayta Egel, so Hashem gives the warning, had been given, don't tolerate polytheistic inhabitants of the land, nor their polytheistic monuments to exist in your midst in the future. In other words, at Chayta Egel, the heir of Rav had led us astray. So we had proven to ourselves that we can be led astray by foreign elements amongst us, and therefore Hashem says you can't leave the Ovdei Avodah Zarah around, nor their monuments. So here, at the border within sight of the land, and before the exact borders are given, this warning is repeated as the first fundamental condition. In other words, back in Shmos, in Perek Lamed Daled, so there the Torah talks about not letting the Bnei Knan stay in Eretz Canaan, the one to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Here it's repeated again to emphasize this is the primary condition for entering Eretz Yisrael. You can't, this warning that your whole stability, your whole continued possession of the land depends on not having this Avodah Zarah around, because it might impact on you. So that earlier warning is repeated here with emphasis. You're about to go in, and that's what's happening here in the Chumash. That's the Hemshech of Pasuk Nalf Tanun Beis. You're about to enter Eretz Yisrael. You have to drive out all of those inhabitants. And we learned our lesson back in Chayta Egel. Back in Chayta Egel, we saw what happens when Bnei Yisrael could be influenced. So this is in Shmos Lamed Daled Pasuk Yud Beis. Hashem says, "Hishamacha Pentichos Bris Liyoshev Aretz. Don't have a bris with them. You can't leave them. They're penye lemokesh bekirbecha. There'll be a snare. They'll lead you astray." So here again, as we're going to enter Eretz Yisrael soon, this warning is repeated and it's emphasized. This is the primary thing. You can't have negative influences around you which might lead you astray in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's our verse on Pasuk Nun Aleph and Beis. Continue, Pasuk Nun Gimel. V'horashtem es ha'aretz v'yishavtem ba. You shall rid the land of any, you know, of those inhabitants, and you shall live there. Ki lachem nasati es ha'aretz l'areshza. Because I have given you the land to take possession of it. Oh, so our first explains as follows. Horashtem es ha'aretz. You must first make the land fit to be your Yerusha by the removal of all traces of polytheism. Only then can you settle down in it. In other words, Pasuk Nun Gimel is saying first you have to fulfill what it says in Pasuk Nun Beis to clear out the land of any negative influences of Avodah Zarah. Then V'yishav Timba. As long as the polyistic inhabitants and polytheistic memorials are there, your yeshiva is no yeshiva. Now, V'yishav Timba only happens after V'horashtem. Now, what's the pshat of the second half of the pasuk? Kilchem nasati, not by means of your own prowess and might do you have the land. It is Hashem's will and Hashem's might for which you have to thank your possession of the land. Hence, you cannot dispense with the first preliminary condition under which Hashem hands the land over to you. It's a beautiful pasuk. Hashem saying as follows, Ki lachem nasati, I gave you the land to take possession of it. So if I'm giving you the land to take possession of it, you have to do what I say. See, if you are conquering the land physically because you're stronger. So you win because you're strongest, period, end of story. You know, there are no conditions. You're the strongest, the army wins. But here, it's not because we're the strongest army. The reason why we're getting Eretz Yisrael is because Hashem gave it to us. So therefore, it follows that the only way we'll be able to get it is if we do what Hashem says. So it's mamash, a beautiful pasuk. V'horashtem es ha'aretz v'yishavtem ba. You shall clean out the land, empty the land of all of those ovdei avodah zarah, and only then you'll be successful in dwelling in the land. Why? Because ki lachem unasati, because I gave you Eretz Canaan. It's not from your own thing. It's not from your own thing. It's from me, Hashem says. And if it's from me, you have to do things my way, i.e., with the ruchnius approach, the avodah Hashem approach, and you must do the first condition, which is to get rid of all of the ovdei avodah zarah. So Rav Hirsch explains beautifully Nun Aleph and Nun Beis, and then Nun Gimel Mamish captures it's a beautiful theme of how Rav Hirsch explains Pasuk Nun Gimel, the two halves of Pasuk Nun Gimel. Okay, that's the end of Perek Lamed.